You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. The song you're hearing is likely to familiar to anyone who spent time on the video sharing website YouTube. Keyboard Cat, which is basically exactly what it sounds like, is a video that's been viewed nearly 50 million times since being uploaded in 2007, and it helped usher in a new era of streaming entertainment. Starting as a small video streaming service in 2005, YouTube now averages about a billion active users every month, and it's ranked as the second most popular website in the world. Our next guest helps to make sense of it all, from cat videos to double rainbows and everything in between. He says YouTube is redefining the world of entertainment while also touching many other aspects of our lives. So what can YouTube tell us about ourselves, our society, and the future of communication? Kevin Alaka is head of culture and trends at YouTube. His new book is Videocracy: How YouTube is Changing the World with Double Rainbows, Singing Foxes, and Other Trends We Can't Stop Watching. Kevin, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Kevin, you make the case in the book, if aliens came to Earth and wanted to understand our planet, you'd give them Google. If they wanted to understand us humans, you'd give them YouTube. Why is that?
Well, I think that YouTube is this real true reflection of so many aspects of the things we care about, the things we're passionate about. Video has always been sort of very something that's driven by passion, by interest, by community. And we see that in the things that people watch and the things that we enjoy. Even the silliest things like Keyboard Cat, and I was laughing and covering my microphone over here when I heard the song playing at the start of this segment. But even these silly things, I think, say a lot about the things we care about and the way that we actually interact with one another.
As we mentioned, YouTube up about a billion active users, super popular website. What is it that resonated with people? How did it come together that it was the concentration site for all these videos that people came to see?
Well, I think, in going back to kind of the early 2000s, video online was very cumbersome, and there were a number of sites that were starting to make that easier, but you used to have to download files and have, special programs for watching things, and YouTube was one of the ones that really made it easy both to be able to post things and to be able to share those things, to embed them on your website. And, at the time, I don't think anybody really knew what it could or should be. There was just this idea that people were interested in finding ways to express themselves, to share the things that they had captured. And over time, that sort of expanded to cover so many different aspects of our culture. And I think, video and our the ability to have access to video, the ability to share video, can be used, has so many applications from, entertainment and comedy. We've seen how many different types of comedy have we seen over the years, through to education, the way that people are learning and being able to access different types of knowledge from around the world, and music from different cultures. And just that ability to make something, to be able for something to spread between different places without the expense of distribution that most of us grew up with in our youths, had huge implications for a lot of different parts of our entertainment and our culture.
You write about one of the first really big viral videos that you like, actually. I want to give a listen to a guy getting really excited about what he sees up in the sky. Here's a listen.
God, look at that. It's starting to even look like a triple rainbow. Oh my God, it's full on double rainbow all the way across the sky. Oh my God.
People made fun of that one some, but I think part of the appeal, maybe you can amplify this, we've all had that, natural phenomenon sighting, whether it's a double rainbow, and we're thinking, we're feeling like this guy a little bit, and we get to all share in it here.
Totally. Bear Vasquez, the guy who created that video, he believed he was having this very strong emotional, spiritual experience that day when he captured this rainbow. And he's this very boisterous character who's very funny, and he's obviously very emotional. And I think that feeling, that joy that he's feeling in that moment is very infectious. And, even though the video is almost 8 years old at this point, I think it was 8 years old, he filmed it in 2010 around this time of the year. He had something that he felt he wanted the world to see, and then everybody saw it and just wanted to share in it in some way with other people. And I think even though it's kind of this crazy, silly video, it represents in so many ways, I think, what's possible now. you know, for an individual person to impact culture through technology.
Talking to Kevin Alaka, author of Videocracy. He's the head of culture and trends at YouTube. And let's follow that point you mentioned, Kevin, because I think that's the main point of your book. This is an ability for someone to make their own stuff. It doesn't need to go through a studio or anything. You see that as a profound distinction that's really changing things. Talk about that.
Yeah, and I mean, and this extends both in terms of the people who watch, the people who make, everybody that's involved in how things are created and shared and spread. I mean, I think it is when you think about how expensive it was to create a television program in the 1960s, you know, where you needed the equipment, you needed the broadcast lines. I mean, there was just so many people that would need to be involved in creating something, and lots of incredible art and entertainment came out of that, and still do come out of those systems. But now we also have introduced another aspect of entertainment in which individual people are able to sort of have that distribution, be able to reach lots of other people, and we as an audience are able to find things with incredible specificity that appeal to us in very distinct and interesting ways. And, there are many, different implications for that. I think, things like entertainment are what we often think of with this, but, I mean, it goes through to all different types of passions and interests that people have, where when you have this sort of unlimited nearly amount of content that's available to us, there's so many different things that we can find and connect with.
Kevin, I don't want to overlook what some people are seeing as downsides. People want to capture views on YouTube or whatever platform they're on. The recent Logan Paul story where he had showed an apparent suicide victim on his site. I mean, people want views. Now there's a monetary reward for getting views if you're a serious YouTuber, and that is leading people into maybe some dark areas where we'd rather not see it showing up there.
Oh, there's definitely all kinds of new ethical complications that come with an environment where so many different people have the ability to influence culture. And when you have so many things happening at once, there's over 400 hours of video that get uploaded every single minute now. And when you have something that's such a sort of diverse reflection of society, you inherit all the complexity that comes with that reflection of society. I think that the people have always, especially in a place where attention is such an important driver of your success, there have always been people who use shock to try to gather our attention. I mean, the truth is that most of the people that I've met over the years and that I've spoken to who have built these big audiences are very responsible and have sort of built those audiences by building real connections with people, and not just kind of trying to get our attention real quick with something that's deceptive or crude. But it is, I think these are questions that we have, not just, these are questions not that we're just going to deal with in 2018. These are questions that we're going to be dealing with, for in the coming decade.
Well, Kevin, we've got full phone lines, and I don't think I've given the number yet. So I think this YouTube thing is going to be big. Let's go to our callers. Rob is on the line in Grafton. Rob, hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah. What'd you want to bring up, Rob?
Well, I wanted to comment on how the educational aspects of YouTube have really made an impact on my life, and I think that's something that I really hope to see continue on in the future. The biggest example is learning how to code and do computer work in particular. I never knew any of this stuff up until about a year and a half ago, and as of now, I've been able to apply a lot of what I've learned from YouTube to my work.
Rob, how do you find the stuff? Do you go and search how to do such and such a program? Or?
Sure, yeah. I mean, a lot of what I've been working with lately is the R programming language and working with statistical analyses. And along with that, I originally started looking at Python programming language. And there's overwhelming wealth of knowledge and videos out there that show how-to tutorials, beginners, intermediate skills, and things like that. And it's been really helpful.
Rob, thanks a lot for that. And Kevin, I mean, I've gone on, how do I play this board game? How do I cut up a pineapple? A vegan death metal chef taught me how to make pad thai, if you want vegan pad thai with a heavy metal background. We can learn a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think the ability for us to be able to search, find the thing that we need in the moment that we need it is actually a very transformative thing. And, that I really appreciated hearing that story. I love hearing stories like that because, and there, I hear a lot of them across so many different things. I mean, the number of people I've met who learned how to play instruments or learned, you know, specific sort of, you know, musical techniques from watching YouTube is incredible. One of my favorite interviews in the book was from a guy named Ben Bowie, who runs a channel called My Nice Ties, where he teaches people how to, he has the most popular how to tie a tie video on YouTube. And, you know, he's got millions of views, and he sees this viewership every New Year's Eve. He sees a big spike in views on people learning, figuring out how to tie a tie before they go out at night. You know, it's an interesting impact for one guy to be able to have on so many other people's lives.
Thanks for the call, Rob. We'll go next to Jim with us in Dubuque. Jim, hi.
Hi. Well, one of the things that I find most worthwhile on YouTube are the opportunity for people to do interviews with whistleblowers and people with contrarian opinions on economics and geopolitics and things like that. But what's kind of scary is that I see a similar type of repression of some ideas, censorship, like Google, you know, seems to be doing sometimes with their search engine. And so that's kind of a question that we need to examine and look at how access to contrarian opinion is not inhibited.
Jim, I want to jump in and throw that at Kevin. A lot of points of view out there, but people talk about, should, say, an explicitly pro-Nazi platform be coming up at the top of searches. How do you look at the political side of YouTube videos?
I mean, this is incredibly complicated terrain and not something that I personally work on. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a tough challenge for anybody who does. I mean, obviously there's a line that exists between hate speech and things that, of course, you know, violate the guidelines of certain platforms that needs to be dealt with. But I think the question that is brought up is an interesting one of our time, when you have so many different points of view. You know, how do you enable people to express themselves, be able to express ideas and opinions, while still creating a civil spaces for people that are fair and responsible.
Thanks a lot for the call. We're talking about YouTube. Our guest is Kevin Alaka, author of the new book, Videocracy. He works at YouTube. He's their head of culture and trends. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What is your relationship with YouTube? Are you a viewer, a creator, a sharer, a YouTuber trying to make money off of it, or do you steer clear? What do you think the site has to offer that maybe can't be found elsewhere? What kind of effect is it having on us, our society, our creativity? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation with Kevin Alaka, YouTube's head of culture and trends. His new book is Videocracy, How YouTube is Changing the World with Double Rainbows, Singing Foxes, and Other Trends We Can't Stop Watching. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Has YouTube changed the way you seek out entertainment? Do you just sit and watch videos maybe longer than you plan at the outset? Have you loaded things onto YouTube yourself? What kind of response do you get? What kind of response do you want? Do you follow a particular YouTuber or YouTubers? Are you a YouTuber yourself, somebody who's looking for followers, maybe even making money doing it? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Kevin, before we go back to our callers, I'll give you some behind-the-scenes stuff here at WPR. Back in 2012, Google did an algorithm to try to find the funniest video, I guess, on YouTube. It looked for words and sounds associated with laughter in the comments. The result was a video that we've watched and used a lot here behind the scenes. Let's take a listen to the ceiling fan video.
At first glance, taking this tomato down through these spinning fan blades may seem impossible, but I'm here to show you it's not. This must be done all in one motion. Okay, guys, watch me go to work.
I'm having a hard time not laughing just listening to it. Kevin, I don't know why we like this so much, but we do. Do we not need to try to make sense of why it's funny?
Well, I think, you know, especially when you're looking at trying to figure out what's something that everybody, you know, finds appealing, or that if you were, you know, sort of to cut across all different demographics, what would they find appealing? You know, physical comedy and things like that, of course, speak to some of our baser, you know, sort of like impulses and things. But, you know, that's kind of why things like Cats and Babies and those kinds of topics, especially in the early years of web video, were so popular, is because, you know, less than 20% of the views on YouTube, or even in the United States, it's something that's being watched by people all over the world. And when you look at what people all over the world watch, you kind of get this like broad cross section of different people.
Yeah, well, we're serious intellectuals here at Public Radio. Let's go back to our callers. Ralph is with us in Chippewa Valley. Ralph, hi. Ralph, are you there? I don't think we have Ralph. The note was he built a forge for blacksmithing based on a YouTube video he saw. Super excited. So thanks for calling in, Ralph. Sorry we lost you there. That kind of basic how-to, I've like fixed computers and appliances that way, Kevin. This is something people are watching maybe with a tool in hand.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. You know, it's one of those things where you could, if you ask people, you know, do you watch YouTube? They'll say no, and then it's like, okay, you know, but do you use YouTube, the website, to learn how to do things or do this or that? And they're like, oh yeah, all the time. And so it's like, I think we don't even realize sometimes how much this has become a part of our lives, a part of sort of learning. You know, there's so many things that you need to see done before you can really learn how to do them. And this video is really kind of an ideal medium for learning certain types of tasks, learning certain types of skills.
We're talking about YouTube with Kevin Alaka, author of Videocracy, How YouTube is Changing the World with Double Rainbows, Singing Foxes, and Other Trends We Can't Stop Watching. Back to your calls now. Brenda is with us in southeastern Wisconsin. Brenda, hi.
Hi.
What'd you want to tell us about, Brenda?
Well, Brenda's an over-the-road truck driver, and I have a YouTube channel, and my videos basically consist of, you know, my adventures on the road, doing different things, you know, giving information, help to other people that want to get into trucking, you know, and so that's what my channel is all about. And it's so freaking cool that YouTube has allowed us to do things like that, you know.
And Brenda, do you have, like, do you feel like you have a community that's following you on YouTube?
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah, I do.
What's your
what's
in the works for the next video, Brenda?
Well, I got hit by a deer.
Oh no.
And I mean, it was like, yeah, and I did a video of it. I just haven't uploaded it yet. And it messed up the whole front of my truck. It had the big horns and everything. It was a buck. And it messed up, it tore out my passenger light. It tore up the grill. And then it knocked out my fuel filter. And so I was on a two-lane road, and I had to, I thank the Lord, I was able to pull over, you know, into this parking lot, because that was the end of it. My truck wouldn't go anymore. So that's my next video.
Brenda, thanks a lot for calling in and sharing that. Kevin, you've met a lot of people like Brenda, maybe not doing exactly what she's doing, but sharing a piece of their lives.
Yeah, and I know what I'm doing after this interview, and that's subscribing to Brenda's channel, because that sounds awesome. Yeah, I mean, I think that is actually the joy that I get out of sort of studying this stuff is, you know, that's not a thing that would make sense as a TV show from a big production studio necessarily, but makes perfect sense in a space where there are other people who are interested in what Brenda has to say and the experience that she's having. Maybe their experiences are similar, and that experience can exist for them. And she probably doesn't have a big crew or anything around the videos that she makes, but it doesn't make them less compelling to the people who watch them.
Thanks so much for sharing that, Brennan. I'm glad you're feeling okay, even though parts of your truck didn't make out so well. Let's go back to our callers. Chris is on the line in Green Bay. Chris, hi.
Hey.
What'd you want to tell us about?
To me, YouTube is not entertainment necessarily. It's more like I use it for an exchange of ideas. Introduce my daughter to new ideas and let her watch TED Talks. And TED Talks has some new cartoonish kind of oddball things that you can learn about. She learned about urine the other day. She wanted to watch it 3 or 4 times. I watch a lot of lectures and debates, Ken Ham and Bill Nye stuff, Richard Dawkins, Lawrence Krauss. There are a lot of ideas on there that normally don't get around unless you're at a lecture.
Chris, thanks a lot for sharing that. TED Talks, I imagine, drives a fair amount of traffic on YouTube, Kevin.
Oh, TED Talks are hugely popular. And that, you know, a TV channel or a channel of educational lectures sounds like an odd proposition if you're trying to make something that you want a lot of people to watch. But yet when you put it up in these spaces, you find, oh, wow, actually there's a huge demand for that kind of stuff. And there have even been some of these, we have some channels now have become celebrities by, you know, creating educational things. Like two of the guys I spoke to for the book were from a channel called ASAP Science. They created whiteboard animations of different scientific, you know, concepts. They used to joke around with their friends, you know, at the bar about science. They turn that into a YouTube channel. They have millions of subscribers who tune in for these really cool animations they do around different topics. And so, you know, that idea of people exchanging ideas, of exchanging knowledge, can actually lead to real popularity that rivals some of what we think of as mainstream entertainment.
It's a good place to leave it, Kevin. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
That's Kevin Allaka. He's the head of culture and trends at YouTube. His new book is called Videocracy, How YouTube is Changing the World with Double Rainbows, Singing Foxes, and Other Trends We Can't Stop Watching. Still time to share your thoughts. What do you use YouTube for, if you use it at all, or do you avoid it? If so, why? You can let us know on the Ideas Network Facebook page. You can also tweet us at Central Time WPR.